South Sudan has almost unanimously voted to declare independence from the north in a referendum, officials announced yesterday, sparking mass celebrations in the southern capital of Juba. John Ashworth is an ecumenical advisor to the Sudanese Bishops' Conference and was part of the Bishops' Observers team at the January 9th poll. He welcomed the results, but also says many issues must yet be resolved ahead of Southern Sudan declaring independence on July 19th.
I think it's a wonderful result for the people of Southern Sudan. It was always going to be a result for secession. I think there was never any doubt about that. But there were worries before the referendum took place because of logistics, because of security, because of deliberate attempts possibly to sabotage it. There were worries that it might be a marginal result which would be contested. I think what has come out is so clear that even if there are some technical difficulties, even if the result is altered by a percent or two after they've done all the recounting and things, this is a staggering result for secession, and it should mean that there will be no more obstacles to secession.
Quite simply, what does this result mean on the ground at a practical level?
What it means is that on July 9th, almost certainly, Southern Sudan will become independent, probably with the name South Sudan. There will be a new country in Africa, a new country in the world. It doesn't mean that all the outstanding issues that still need to be negotiated between the two countries will have been finished by July the 9th, but I suspect they will agree to continue negotiating some of those issues. But there's a strong feeling in the South that the 9th of July is the official date, 6 months after the referendum started, is the official date for independence, and that's when I would see it happening.
You were there, you were on the ground for that referendum. It was really a momentous and an historic occasion. Can you relay to our listeners or describe what it meant to be there and watch the Sudanese people, the Southern Sudanese people vote?
Yes, it was indeed a tremendous experience. And in fact, I've been telling people it was fun. That's the best word I can come up with. It was fun. I was accompanying Cardinal Napier from South Africa and the Archbishop of Juba, Archbishop Paulino Lukudu, and we went around, we saw the polling stations. There was a real sense of dignity and calm. There were long, long lines of people. Some of them had been queuing up all night, but everything was peaceful and calm. It was quite moving to see the way disabled and vulnerable people were treated. They were taken straight to the front of the line, or there was a special line for them. People assisted them in casting their votes. There was a tremendous sense of tranquility, I would say, in the whole thing. And it was so well organized. That also impressed us. I think you're aware there had been some delays. There were technical problems. A lot of people had predicted that it wouldn't happen, or that if it did happen, it would be quite chaotic. Well, it was exactly the opposite. It was like a textbook example of how a referendum should be held. And I must say we were also very impressed by the domestic monitors. At every polling station we went to, we found the domestic monitors sitting there, taking their job very, very seriously. And everybody was well-behaved. I mean, the police who were providing security, all the officials were well-briefed and were being very helpful to the voters. It really was a textbook example, as I say, of what a referendum should look like.
Now, of course, before we move on to what the challenges that lie ahead, let's just stop for a moment and really think of what this referendum means. In effect, the Sudanese people have withdrawn their own borders, borders that were imposed upon them in the 19th century during the Berlin meeting. They're the first country really to do so in such a democratic and peaceful way. It's an historic moment for Sudan, but if I'm not mistaken, it's also a historic moment for the rest of Africa. Do you think this will have knock-on effects?
I think it is a historic moment for Africa because, as you say, this is a peacefully agreed splitting of the country, changing of the borders. I'm not sure whether it will have a tremendous knock-on effect on the rest of Africa because although there are many, many countries which have problems where people might want to redraw the boundary, most of them are not very far advanced in that process. We could say maybe Somaliland and Western Sahara are fairly advanced in the process. But I don't think it's something that means tomorrow immediately we're going to start to see people agitating for new borders.
Now, looking ahead, as you said, within 6 months, what effectively happens as a result of this vote, as a result of this popular ballot, is that we will see the creation of Southern Sudan, a country in its own right. But as you said, this won't necessarily resolve all the problems, disagreements, divergences and challenges that lie ahead for the people of North and South Sudan. Can you talk to us a little bit more about these?
Yeah, there are several different sets of problems, and so let me try and delineate them. One is for the parts of Sudan which were part of the war, the southern war, but which are in the north. And there's Abyei, there's the Nuba Mountains in southern Kordofan, and there's Blue Nile. Those areas, Abyei is supposed to have a referendum but hasn't had it yet. Blue Nile and southern Kordofan are supposed to have something called popular consultation but haven't had it yet. So there's a lot of tension in those areas, which could result in violence, perhaps. Then there are issues between north and south. For example, parts of the border have not been delineated yet. There's no agreement yet on the sharing of oil. There's no agreement on how the national debt and the liabilities will be handled. There's no agreement on citizenship. So there are real fears for southerners who remain in the north. These issues and other more technical issues still need to be negotiated. And then I think a third set of issues are for the people of northern Sudan. You're probably aware there are demonstrations taking place today in Khartoum and some of the other cities. It's a very unpopular regime in Khartoum, and I think the other political parties and many of the ordinary people in the north have suddenly realized that they're going to be left to the tender mercies of this regime without the buffer, let's say, of having southern Sudan and having the government of southern Sudan and the Sudan People's Liberation Movement as allies against the central government. So we're seeing some political repositioning in the north. We're seeing the opposition parties speaking out strongly. We've heard words like regime change coming from the opposition. So there's going to be differences in the north, I think. And then fourthly, in the south faces the challenge of continuing to build a new state. They started from absolutely nothing in 2005 when they began the autonomous government. They've done remarkably well in 6 years, but obviously they haven't got as far as people would like them to. So the whole challenge of building a new state will continue.